1 Peter 4, great passage this morning where we get the saying behind me on the wall, watch unto prayer. But the passage this morning, we're going to focus on stewardship. We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. And I even gave a little mini lesson on this to the men maybe a year ago at the men's fellowship. But I want to really focus this morning on what God's teaching us about stewardship, because we are stewards. And God expects us to be good stewards. Amen. And so look at verse 7 of 1 Peter 4. The Bible says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So as good stewards, let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray you'd use your word now in our hearts. We thank you for the privilege to look at it together and allow the Holy Spirit to apply the powerful sword of your word to change us, Lord. And we ask that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and you'd be pleased with our service. So may we honor you now by honoring your word. And we give this to you in Christ's name. Amen. So God wants us to be good stewards. And there's five things in this passage that we're stewards of. And he wants us to be good stewards of these things. But before we dive into that, I want us to be reminded this morning that we will give account at the judgment seat of Christ for our stewardship. And this is important for us to understand. If you go to Luke 16, I'll show you this. But praise God, we will not be judged for our sins. That happened at Calvary. But we will answer to Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And he's going to ask us this question we see here in Luke chapter 16, verse 1. "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." Now, we won't read the whole parable, but I just wanted you to see Jesus told this parable to teach us that we will give account of our stewardship. We will give an account to him. And I can guarantee you we will not be giving excuses at the judgment seat of Christ. But let's take it seriously. That's what it's all about. We've been assigned this great task by our loving Lord, who's given us everything, eternal life and a home in heaven in his presence. He asks us now to be good stewards. And so go back to our passage, 1 Peter 4, 7. The first thing that we see here that we're to be good stewards of is our time. He says, the end of all things is at hand. I want you to be sober. I want you to watch. I want you to watch unto prayer. In other words, I want you to use your time wisely. We all have the same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God expects us to be good stewards of the time he's given us. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't expect us to rest. He does expect us to rest. He expects us to enjoy his creation and enjoy life. But he also expects us to serve him and to use our time wisely. The Bible says in Psalm 90, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." We only have so much time. And God expects us to use it wisely, to be sober. In other words, serious, to be watching, to be expecting the Lord to come back, to be praying. Why? Because the end of all things is at hand. So use your time wisely. If you go to Ephesians 5:16, we'll see God uses the word redeem. And that word means to buy back. Notice he says, Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And the days are evil. And God expects us to redeem or to buy back the time, to make the best use of the time that he's given us, because we're stewards of his time. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And God expects us to be faithful with His time. It's His time that He's given us. And so each day we make a decision, don't we? Am I going to do this for God or am I going to serve myself? Many Christians even struggle, do I go to church today or do I not go to church today? You know, it's, and each of those decisions is about stewardship of the time He's given us. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So God expects us to be good stewards of the time that He's given us, to be sober, to be watching unto prayer. The second thing we're stewards of, 1 Peter 4:8, is charity. Look what he says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. We're told that charity is the greatest of all the traits that we could have. We're told that we could do amazing things. 1 Corinthians 13, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Charity is above it all. It says, above all things here in verse 8, have fervent charity among yourselves. And we're to be stewards of charity. How can that be? Well, because true biblical charity, which is love among the brethren, is impossible in our own resources, isn't it? It comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And that makes it possible for us to have fervent charity. Go to Colossians 3:14 if you would. But we're to have fervent charity among ourselves. He's talking to Christians here in 1 Peter. And he says, I want you among yourselves. And Brother Brinkman taught on this a couple of years ago, how important it is that we as Christians have charity, which is love among the brethren. And notice Colossians 3:14. And above all things, that's pretty high, isn't it? Above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Look at that. Charity. And we're stewards of that charity. You know, we can hoard it and not love each other as we should, not show the charity that we should, or we can use it. We can spread it. Amen. Jesus said in John 13, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another, in John 13:35. He said, this is going to be the mark of a Christian, the love they're going to show to each other. And we're stewards of that. That charity, we're just conduits of God's charity. And He wants us to be giving it out to others as much as we can. So we're stewards of it. So we're stewards of our time. He wants us to be sober. He wants us to be watching and expecting Jesus to come back and watching unto prayer until He does. We're to be stewards of charity, but we're also, in verses 9 and 10, to be stewards of the gifts that He's given us. Notice He says, use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. We find out the purpose of the gifts there is to minister to one another. But every one of us has been imparted gifts from the Holy Spirit. When we were saved, God, in His wisdom, said, you need this gift, and you need that gift, and you need these gifts. God decided, because He knows us, and He knows what we're made of, and He knows what gifts are best for us. And so He imparted them when we got saved. But He didn't impart them for us to hoard. He imparted them for us to use and put to use for His glory. And that's why He says, I want you to minister the same. He says, as every man hath received it, now I want you to minister it one to another. And if you go to Galatians 5:13, ultimately we're here to bring glory to God. And we're here to serve one another. But I've heard Christians say, well, I don't know what my gifts are. Well, then find out. Take a survey. I have some that you could take. Or let's pray together. Let's study. But find out what your gift is. It's either the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, teaching, helps, governments, ministry, exhortation, giving, or mercy. Or multiple ones of those. Find out what your gifts are. But you're a steward of that gift. God said, the day you got saved, here you go. I'm giving this to you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to learn it. It's yours. but you're a steward of it. I want you to put it to use. Notice Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Serve one another. We are stewards of the gifts that he's imparted to us, which means we have to use them to, as it says there in verse 10, minister one to another. And so we're stewards of the time that he's given us. It's not our time, it's his, because he can take us home tomorrow. We're stewards of the charity that we're to be giving out to our brothers and sisters daily. We're stewards of the gifts that he's given us. And in verse 10, we're stewards of his grace. Look, it says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Stewards of the grace of God. Now, God gives a lot of grace. Amen. We're told in James 4, he giveth more grace. James 4, 6. Praise God for that. But what does he mean when he says we're stewards of his grace? Well, there's a lot of grace that we need. We need grace to live for him. We need grace to forgive others. We need grace to be the kind of Christian we're to be. We need grace even if God gives us a deathbed. We need dying grace. But we're stewards of that grace. It's not something that God gives and just says, here you go. Here's all the grace you'll ever need. No, he gives it as we need it, but we're to what? We're to use it. We're to put that grace to use. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 20, and we'll see that there is no limit to the grace of the Lord. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now go to 2 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul came to God and said, Lord, I need you to remove this thorn. It's hindering my effectiveness as your apostle, as your church planter. I need you to remove it. And God said, verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. God said, no, I'm not taking the thorn. You need to rely on my grace, Paul, but I'm not taking the thorn. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, I'll give you enough grace to live for me. And oftentimes when the trials come, we pray, Lord, take away the trial. We should be praying, Lord, give me the grace to deal with the trial as I should. But we're stewards of this grace. And there's infinite amounts available. Go to Hebrews 4. We'll see this. Most of us know Hebrews 4:16. But of all the names that God could have given for his throne of prayer, he calls it the throne of grace. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help when? In time of need. In time of need. So when you have a need, and we always do, some sort of need, and he's not just talking about physical, obviously. God says, come to the throne and find grace. And then put it to use. And like Paul, serve in the grace of God. Don't say, well, if you're not going to take the thorn away, I'm going to stop serving. Which is what some Christians do. Paul said, okay, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. God says, I have grace to deal with it, with this thorn. I'm going to embrace the thorn and serve in the grace of God. I'm going to use that grace that's available. And if he does give us a deathbed, the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And how many Christians have been given dying grace to die gracefully? So all of us have been given stewardship of our time, of God's charity, of the gifts that he's imparted, of his grace. And lastly, verse 11, we have been made stewards of the gospel. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. The gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to save souls from hell. That's amazing. And when we witness to someone and they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, we didn't win a soul. I've never liked the phrase soul winning, to be honest, because we don't win souls. We share the gospel, which has the power to save souls, and then God wins souls. Amen? We don't win souls. We're just wicked sinners. But we've been given stewardship of this amazing thing called the gospel. The truth of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. How he died and how he rose again and paid for our sins. And if we'll repent and ask him to, he'll save us from our sins and give us eternal life. We've been given stewardship of that great thing. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 4:1, the Apostle Paul understood this. As one of God's children, as one of God's apostles, he said, I'm a steward. I have to be accountable for what I do with this amazing thing called the gospel. Am I going to hold on to it or am I going to share it? Notice 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We're just stewards of the great gospel of Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Thessalonians 2:4. We'll see it again. And so when we go out and talk to the lost and we share the gospel with them, that's stewardship. That's good stewardship. That's taking something that God has imparted to us, which is the amazing truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's putting it to use. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth the hearts. Look what he says there. Put in trust with the gospel. That's stewardship. We've been put in trust with it. And we all know what God wants us to do with the gospel. He wants us to speak it, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So we have been made stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we read there in Luke 16, because that Lord there is the Lord in the parable, he will say, give account of your stewardship. What did you do with the time? Did you waste it or did you use it for me? What did you do with the charity that I gave you? I gave you an infinite amount because I was indwelling you. Did you show charity to your brothers and sisters? What did you do with the gifts I gave you? I gave you specific gifts. I wanted you to put them to use. What did you do with all the grace that was available? Did you avail yourself of that grace and live for me? And what did you do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did you share it? We've been made stewards. He says in verse 11 there of our passage, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Why are we to be good stewards? That we might bring glory to God. That's why we're here. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. We're here to bring glory to God. And one of the greatest ways we can bring glory to God is to be good stewards of what he's imparted to us. We don't own anything. We don't even own ourselves. He owns us. We talked about this at the men's fellowship. He bought us with the price, the blood of Jesus. He owns us. And everything that we've been given, we really don't own it. We're just stewards. And God's going to say there in Luke 16, give account of thy stewardship. As Peter says here, let us be good stewards of these many things that he's imparted unto us and take our stewardship seriously. Because God is worth it, amen? We're here to bring him glory. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word.